Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis.
I'm Pastor Margaret Michael.
Thanks for tuning in. And today we're joined by Jenny Butcher. Jenny, how are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Just a little tired, but good.
And Jenny's a returning guest to Hope Talks, mm-hmm. but I think it's probably been about a year or so, maybe a little bit longer since we've had you in.
It was groundbreaking, and that was in July of last year.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So almost a year.
Wow. Gosh.
It's hard to believe.
That's crazy.
A lot has happened in that time.
Yes, a lot.
So Jenny is the, remind me of your title there at Isaiah 117 House.
Yeah, so I am the location leader for Isaiah 117 House right here in Rockingham County.
Very good.
She's here to talk to us today to give us an update on what they have going on.
Yeah, I was just thinking back to when I first heard about Isaiah 117 House. I think it was Donna and Dave Fickus that told me about it. And then I soon heard from Ashley Bellamy. Yeah. And so having these conversations, and then your name popped up and you became a part of it and had a passion for it. For those that don't know, that maybe haven't heard you talk before, just to give them a little idea of why you have a passion, if you could share just a little bit of your background and how you landed here.
Yeah. So I am very passionate because I was a former foster child myself. I grew up in the system from age 2 up until I got adopted at 17. I've been in and out of the system. So I was removed at age 2 from my biological mother, and then I was removed at age 7 by my biological aunt and uncle, and then I was removed again at age 14 right here in Harrisburg, Rockingham, by my aunt and uncle as well. And so I remember my removal day like it was yesterday. It was 15 years ago, and it's a day that a child doesn't forget. As much as you think you don't remember it, when you start talking about it or when things trigger, it sticks with you no matter what. So learning about the Isaiah 117 House and learning that we are there to help during that transitional period of removal, I just knew I had to be a part of this, however that looked like. Right. And God put me as the leader for the house right here in Rockingham County. And so I have been doing it almost 2 years this August.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That is so good. So you all raised funds. You did a really tough year of hitting the ground running and raising funds, and you needed property. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, a property showed up, right?
Yeah. So that day, it was such a funny moment. It always goes back to God. He knew that we needed to be here because one of our supervisors from our resource center was coming into town that day to look at another property that I knew was not going to work. I was like, this property is not going to work. We can't build a house on here. But he insisted on coming to look, and he did. But that day before he got there, I just happened to pop up onto Zillow, and this property came up. And I reached out to our realtor, Lila Longcore, and she said, yeah, I'll get you information. And we went and looked at it the day he was there. And it was meant to happen. We reached out. There was a lot of back and forth. I wrote a very convincing letter to the owners, just telling them who we are and why we want this property. And they said yes. And just that first yes made it possible. And so we were able to purchase that land in April of 2025. We had our groundbreaking in July, and then we started construction that same year in August, which is mind-blowing.
It really happened fast.
Yeah,
things don't usually happen that fast. That's definitely, you know, that God was in the details of all of that.
Yes.
So who built the house?
Yeah. So Harmon Construction, they have become our general contractor for the process of building this house. But it's not just Harmon Construction. It's many, many hands and many, many businesses. Yeah. We've had, I wish I would have brought the whole list of everyone, but we've had Munger's. They donated a good portion of the lumber for the house. Yeah. We've had to pay for it, but we've also got a lot of it donated as well and discounted at a great price. Then we had Walter Aguilar. He he did the framework on the house. And it's funny because my husband said, this guy knows what he's doing because he did an amazing job on our framework. It was just beautiful framework. And then we had two brothers help with the plumbing. Blau Brothers has also stepped in and helped us with our plumbing a lot. I bug them probably way too much. Sanger Roofing has helped us with our roofing. Windows, I wish I can remember the name. It's a tricky name, but our windows and exterior doors were all donated by Glass Door Windows. Can't remember the name, but there's a name there. Yeah. I'll have to look for it and we can probably add that in. but even like our fencing around the house, it's such a great story behind that because Vinyl Premier reached out to our community to donate portions of our fencing, which is amazing. Nature Installed did our grass, our greenery for the house. We have Tim Meredith. He is with, it's another landscaping company that's doing a lot of our landscaping. I think it's called Virginia Landscape.
That's neat. I graduated high school with him.
Yeah, he's doing the prettier things like the mulch and bushes. And then Creative Concrete has done our driveway. And it just, there's so many businesses. Goods Floor did our flooring. He's my neighbor. He actually, that's a funny story. He told my daughter who plays with his kids, when your mom needs flooring, tell her I want to come help out with the Isaiah house. So she came home that evening and said, Branson wants to help do the flooring for the Isaiah house. And I was like, great, I will go bug him then. And they did the flooring for the Isaiah house and it just looks beautiful. So many businesses, whether that's volunteering their time to install, trim, or giving us discounted pricing for materials, have just brought their foot in and really, really helped to make this house possible and saying yes to us.
We've had you on before, but I probably shouldn't take it for granted that we might have a new listener. So before we get too much further, we should probably say what the Isaiah 117 house is.
Yeah. So we are a home, and that's exactly what we are. We aren't an office. We aren't a state building, but we are a home that serves children entering into the foster care system during that removal process. When children are removed from their homes or schools due to no fault of their own, their first stop is a state office building, which is the Department of Social Services office. And they usually spend hours there waiting for placement. And unfortunately, especially for our teens, they end up spending the night. And so we are trying to create a home here just in Harrisburg, Rockingham, to serve kids in that removal process, in that transitional period where they can go to an actual house. We have beds, a living room, a dining room. That's exactly what we are, is a house.
It's a home away from their home.
Yes.
In that transition. And this is a national program, correct? So how many houses? I just saw there was another one finished last week or this week. How many houses are there in the states now?
So there are 38 open homes in 13 states with 66 locations. And those locations could either be an open home or they could be in construction like we are, or they can be in their raising awareness phase, which is before finding land and really focusing on the mission of Isaiah 117 House.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, I just, like, it's been amazing how fast it's grown.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one thing that people can get on board with. Like, they don't want children to have to be in the places that they find themselves. And like you said, it's no fault of their own.
No.
Right. And it's just a real difficult situation that the children find themselves in. And just to have some volunteers to love on them. So tell us, like, what do the volunteers, like, I know that you're not open yet. I'm sure you have a date.
Yes. Not loosely yet. There's not really a date, but a season, I would say. Our loosely season that we're shooting for, but again, it's all in God's timing.
That's
He knows when it'll be ready to open. We're looking at late end of summer or possibly in the fall.
Yeah.
It just, again, depends on if we have all of the things that we need for this house to be open. Yeah. But for volunteers, we need volunteers no matter what. And if it's not working directly with children, we need volunteers to come mow the lawn, to come clean up, to come organize, to help at events. But if volunteering directly in the house or indirectly in the house with kids, you can always volunteer outside of the house. Yeah. And that by hosting your own fundraising events, spreading the word and sharing what the Isaiah 117 house is. But really, not even that, telling people what our kids are going through, because that's the most important thing, is have a full understanding of what our kids are experiencing during that time period. Because again, it's a day that a child doesn't forget, no matter how old it happened and how old they get.
That's good.
So once the house is done, how many, and maybe there's a rough estimate of like kids would you be able to house at one time, or like kind of tell us a little bit about the house? And
yeah, so in regards of how many kids can come to the house, it's a case by case. And when we say case by case, it could be one case and it could be a sibling set in that one case of three siblings, seven siblings, two siblings. And they would come and utilize that house depending on how many kids are in that one case. We don't do multiple different kinds of children because we don't want to cause more trauma. We are there to reduce trauma. And if we have kids who are commingling, they can trigger each other and cause more trauma. Yeah, so we really try to avoid doing that at the house. And so we have a space called our visitation space. It has its own access and you can lock the door on the other side from the inside. And so if a kid is being removed while the house is being utilized, we can utilize that space as our visitation space, as a space for a kid to use. It's a living room. It's got a kitchenette in there. It's got a full bath with a shower and everything in there, a dining room. So it still is capable to be used. We just don't mingle them unless we have that conversation with the department.
Yeah, that sounds very wise to me.
Yeah,
I do say, because the biggest question I've been getting asked is, how many kids will you serve? That varies. Summertime, there's not as much mandated reporting happening, so it could be a little bit slower in the summertime. And then during the school year, it picks up a lot more because there is mandated reporters around children all the time. Right before the holidays, because kids are going on winter break or spring break, they want to make sure that that kid is safe. So a report might happen to where they get removed right before winter break. And have to spend Christmas or anything like that at an Isaiah house or at a foster placement that they don't know anything about. And so currently there are over 200 children in foster care in just Harrisonburg-Rockingham. And then in other surrounding areas like Charlottesville, Augusta, Shenandoah, Winchester, Page, there's over 300 children in care combined. Our goal is to serve those surrounding areas that I mentioned. And we did have a great conversation with Woodstock. Hopefully that'll be somewhere where we can serve, whether that's bringing food or bags of clothing for children. But for Harrisonburg-Rockingham, we could serve about 75 to 100 children in a year. But again, that also varies. That's this year. Next year, we don't know what that looks like. There could be more children in care, or there could be less children in care. So it just kind of varies.
So right now, the house isn't open, but you all are still actively serving, right?
We are in the process of trying to figure that out with the Department of Social Services. We have to have a contract with them. It's called an MOU. And so we've got that signed. And so now we're trying to figure out all the logistics of what that looks like with serving with them. Since the last time you all spoke to me, it's just been a one-woman show over here. And so we did finally hire our next two part-time positions, which is so exciting and so much weight lifted off of my shoulders. And they have been a great, great addition to our location. And I'm super excited. And so with them being a part of that, we're really looking at trying to have that conversation with the department about what it looks like currently for us serving in the office. And that could be just bringing a meal to the kiddo or bringing a bag of items. So yeah, we're in the process.
That's awesome.
Hopefully something comes out of it. But we understand that they're trying to figure out their logistics on the end of the school year. It's a busy time. Everything is getting pushed in before the school year ends because the summer may be a little bit slower.
You mentioned once you all open, you'll need volunteers to help both serve with the kids or to do things like yard work and mowing and those kind of things. So what would be the best way if somebody's listening and they're interested in volunteering in one of those ways?
Yeah, so you can email us at rockinghamva@isaiah117house.com. But if you're on social media like Facebook or Instagram, there is a link in our bio that leads you to our link tree. And that's where you can get signed up for our newsletter, fill out the get involved form, which is to become a volunteer, learn about any events that we're having. Currently, we're getting ready to get ready for our lemonade weekend. So you can sign up to host a lemonade stand there as well. So yeah.
Tell us about the lemonade weekend.
That is a fun event. That is an event where you just sign up to host a stand wherever you want to host a stand. And you invite just anyone can sign up. Kids, youth, elders, anyone, churches, businesses, whomever can sign up. And all you have to do is we have this event on July the 17th through the 19th. And we invite the community just to host a stand and spread the word about Isaiah House and take any donations during that time. You don't have to do all 3 days. You can pick one day and just do it for a few hours. But we will provide brochures, some stickers, and some pens to pass out. All you do is make your stand and give out lemonade. Churches can do it. Sunday mornings, easy peasy right there. Just have a lemonade stand with our table with brochures set out and have that conversation and making people aware of what's happening. I love it because it's a great opportunity for kids to get involved. My daughter talks about wanting to serve at a house, but unfortunately you have to be 21 and older to serve at the house with kids. So how I get her involved is she helps me by hosting a lemonade stand and she spreads the word. She is my advocate in the schools. She takes the brochures and passes them out to the teachers and shares all about it. So, but that's it. Like, it's very simple. The reason why we do it is every location in that has every Isaiah 117 house location has their community host lemonade stands. And it's because in Clark County, when they first opened their house, there was a group of kids who really, really wanted to help somehow. And so they chose a weekend, Friday to Sunday, and hosted lemonade stands. And they raised over $7,000 just for that one house, just those kids. By hosting a lemonade stand. And ever since then, they've just kept that tradition on that it always happens on that third weekend in July. And just to get involved because anyone can do it. It's simple. It's easy. And you don't have to be a volunteer. You don't have to come serve at the house. If you've been looking a way to help and support, that's your simplest, easiest way to do it.
That's really cool.
How can people, if maybe they're not able to volunteer, maybe they're not able to give, but how can they be praying for you and praying for Isaiah 117 House and the kids y'all be serving?
So I think right now I would say obviously praying for our kids. We're cutting into the summer season. There's not going to be as much reporting happening. Our caseworkers are going to have that heart of, oh my goodness, I'm not going to see this kid until the school year. So praying for our kids and the families and our caseworkers. But we're so close to being done with having this house built. And we are going to be preparing this home with furniture and items, food, clothing, all sorts of stuff on top of training volunteers. And then on top of raising our operational budget, prayers for that, because it's going to be a very busy season before we open this house. And so just praying over our team and our volunteers who are helping us during that time period, because it's going to be busy.
It will be a hectic season. Yes. So have you found people that are donating like furniture?
Yeah. So the Denton Foundation has partnered with us of covering the cost for furniture. And then First Presbyterian Church has also gave us a portion of funding for furniture as well.
Wow.
That includes a playground, some sorts of that as well. So that church and that organization has both been fully in support and has helped us. So we don't have to worry about having anyone purchase furniture or anything like that. But we are still looking to see if businesses may partner with us, whether that's getting items to us at a discounted price or just donating items. I've spoken with a mattress company and they said that when we're ready, they will donate mattresses to us.
I'm sure I know who that is. Yeah. That's great.
So we're really excited about that as well. Great. Yeah. So the furniture has been nothing too much to worry about. And as regards of other things in the house, we have our bin buddies. Those are our individuals or churches or businesses or Bible study groups, whomever, that want to commit to filling up a bin of specific items for specific age and gender. We're working on that program again this year. But we'll have other programs like our Pantry Pal. Those are individuals. Those are anyone who wants to essentially fill up a pantry full of snacks. And we ask specific snacks because kids are picky.
Yes.
And we want them to be able to eat something that they like. And so that could be like you getting a bunch of cookies or gummies. Just random things, you know, kids will eat. We have a grocery list that we follow by just to ensure that we know that our kids are getting what they want.
Yeah. Do you have a list anywhere like on the website, or is there an Amazon list, or is there anything like that if somebody's listening today and they go, well, I would love to purchase a few things?
So once we get our certification of occupancy, we are hoping to start our Amazon wish list of items that we will need to stock the house, whether that's organization bins, towels, bed sheets, all the small things that you don't think you need. will be on that. If you just stay connected with us, check out our link tree. We always share everything through our newsletter and through our social media pages. So once we have that wish list ready, we will post it on both of those.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
Because I think sometimes there's people listening that can't do huge amounts, but they can order something from Amazon. And it's like Christmas when it shows up for you, right?
Yes.
And it's just such a blessing.
Yeah.
Might not be much, but it's a lot when you're trying to get so many things together. It might not seem like much from the person that's getting it. It might be a real challenge for them and they want to do that. Yeah. But it'll be like Christmas on the other end of that.
I know. I experienced that. Design Electric and Graves Electric both work together on donating our light fixtures. Mm-hmm. And it came in through the mail and it was delivered at the house. And it was the first ever delivery at the house, which was really exciting. And I got so excited. It was Christmas that day that I went in and I checked everything out and looked at it. And I was like, they're so beautiful. So like you said, it's like Christmas when you get stuff delivered, and especially when you're not the one paying for it.
That's right.
It means that someone's thinking of you and thinking of the organization and how this home is a need. Yes. Essentially. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
So somebody's listening and they want to get involved, but maybe they don't use email or internet. Like, do y'all have a phone number where people can reach out if they want to give or donate or get involved in any of these things?
Yeah. So you can find that information on Isaiah117house.com. And you can look up the specific location. And if you want to do Rockingham County, you can just click Virginia, and it has our phone number on there, an email on there, and also it leads you to our link tree as well that shows you all that information.
Okay, very good.
Jenny, in this whole process, you and the caseworkers deal with tough situations, mm-hmm. like you've mentioned before, but in all these tough situations, what is bringing you, and maybe you've already shared this, but we call this program Hope Talk, so what is bringing you hope or the most hope out of this entire process of opening the Isaiah 117 house?
So that's the biggest word. Every time I speak anywhere and share about the Isaiah house, the word I always say is hope. And it's just because it's always been something that I grew up with in care of, like, there's hope in the future for me, whether that's having a family of my own, having a great job, whatever it looks like, there's always going to be hope out there. So for me, it's every time a child comes in there, they're going to see glimpse of hope for themselves, not for us, but for themselves. They see a future of hope for them. They see that they're not just a number. They're not just a kid. They're not just a foster child. Yeah. They are so much more than that. Right. And so that's my biggest thing, is I get to see them come in through those doors, and I'm not going to ever push my experience or my story on a child. But if something were to come up, I can say, I know what that's like, but here's what you can do. So my hope is that a kid comes in there and they just see so much more than that one moment that they're experiencing. Mm-hmm. And any other moment that they're having, that they see so much more, and that they're put in the right placements, not just any placement, but the ones that are meant for them. I was blessed with a family that was meant for me. And so they are the reason why I am where I am. They didn't give up on me in those moments of me really testing the waters and having really big feelings. They kept on and they did not give up. And so my hope is that they see that. And that, again, they aren't just a number in the system, and they're not just a foster kid. Unfortunately, it does have a stigma behind it. And when you think of foster kid, it's not a positive thing. It's usually a negative thing. And so when you put that label on a child, they tend to think, that's who I am and that's all I'm going to be. And as someone who grew up in the system, I say former foster child. I sometimes don't like labeling myself that way, but that is what I was, but I'm so much more than that. I'm a mom, right. I'm a wife, I'm a leader, and I'm God's daughter. And so,
child of the King.
Yes, I'm so much more than just that foster child. But I have so much hope for this house rather than just being that one moment. My goal is that we have teens who grow out of the system and need support and don't know how to balance a check or how to properly apply for a job or write a cover letter or cook a proper meal or anything like that. And so I would love to find resources in our community that can provide those kind of classes, whether that's utilizing the house to use those classes for teens and setting them up for a better future, and just letting them know that there's so much more than that, that we are here to help them. And it's not that we're trying to keep an eye on them, but we want them to be set up for a successful future. Yeah. Because, man, I had to learn all of that on my own. As soon as I turned 18, I had to learn how to do all of that. And it was hard. And again, I was blessed with a great family and an amazing husband who walked through me through all of that. But it's hard if you don't have that. And so my hope is to provide that as well for our kiddos.
I can remember I was probably around 20, 21. And I just remember I was a little bit of a rebel and didn't have family support due to my own decisions. And I found myself in a place where people encouraged me. And it was the first encouragement I'd gotten. And I say encouragement, like speaking into who I was. Mm-hmm. And it impacted me in a way that I'd never been impacted before. And that's what I hear you saying. This is a place where when people filled with the Holy Spirit engage, it's not just you, but God is using and will use the team and the volunteers to literally be his love to those that walk in the door. And sometimes we do things we don't even know. Mm-hmm. The way these women spoke into my life, they had no clue what they were doing for me. And it wasn't just for that moment, but at the age I am now, many years later, about 40 years later, I remember that like it was yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I was talking to my coworker, Caitlin. She is our care coordinator. And we had a training and one of the volunteers who came, I was like, oh, you are my old youth pastor. One of the volunteers helping with the youth when I went to church with my foster family. And I saw him, I gave him a hug. I was so happy to see him. And he didn't know I was leading this. So it was really cool for him to see that.
Wow.
But afterwards, I spoke to Caitlin and I said, his family was just so, so kind to me. His son was so, so kind to me. And that impacted me, that kindness, the level of they didn't treat me like I was a foster kid. They were so kind to me. They treated me like I was a normal child. They didn't brush me off of like, oh, that's a foster kid. We have to be careful because you don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
They didn't see me as that. They saw me as Jenny, and seeing him for the first time since that time that I was in care with that family and went to youth group, it was so, so, so great to see him. And just small things like, it's not even saying anything, but the way you're treating our kiddos
matters.
It's a huge, huge, huge impact. And that family was a huge impact. They probably don't know it. They'll probably know if they hear it. They're wondering, I wonder if she's talking about me. That's who I'm talking about. But they were such a huge impact. And their son was so kind to me. And I remember I was like, this is who I want to be. And I loved that family, and they probably didn't even realize it, but small things like that. It's not even they said anything or did anything. It was, they were just, they showed who Jesus was through their actions and through their words. And I'll never forget that family. And it's small things like that.
Powerful.
Mm-hmm. Might have been small to them, but it was the world to you.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Jenny, it's been great to have you today. Just in closing, anything that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already that you'd like to share?
Not that I can think of on the top of my head. Again, we are fully staffed now, our three staff team, which is exciting. Caitlin Tice, she came on as our care coordinator who focuses on our volunteers, training them, background checks. And then Sarita Morford, she came on as our support coordinator. She focuses on our volunteers who don't want to work directly with children, but also with anyone who wants to give, whether that's with clothing, food. She makes sure the house is well taken care of. So I'm excited to have a full team now. It's been really, really great and such a blessing to have them be a part of it.
Yeah.
So, and great. Watching them, they're new. And so I'm in it for almost 2 years and I'm a little tired and never want to build a house ever again. But they are fresh eyes with just so much excitement. And their first day working with us was going to conference with me for the Isaiah 117 house. And I'd never really met them before. We just had an interview. And then I hired them and we drove 6 hours together as our first day of work down to our conference. And so they were fully immersed in all things Isaiah 117 house. And one thing that stuck out with me in that moment was we were talking about ribbon cuttings and what that looks like at our conference. And Sarita, she goes, we won't cut the ribbon with you because it'll be you and just the founder, Rhonda. And I said, no, it'll be all three of us with Rhonda. And they both were like, really? And I was like, yeah, you guys are just as much as a part of this as I am now. And just because I've been in it longer doesn't mean anything. Right. And in that moment, it was so, so cool to see because Sarita instantly started crying. She was like, I'm going to cry. I can't believe, like, I get to be a part of that. And it just, for one, it made me realize that I hired two of the best people, but the fact that they have a heart for it and they were just brand spanking new is like amazing. Yeah. And it was awesome to see that they both were like, wow, we get to be a part of that. And I was like, yeah, you are now, you're stuck with me, whether you like it or not. Yeah. You're never leaving me. But that I would think is something that I love to share is that, because that really, that was impactful, not just us as a team, but me. I was like, wow, they're both brand spanking new and they both are feeling these emotions for something like a ribbon cutting. And so.
Great.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yep. Jenny, thank you for joining us today for Hope Talks. It's been great to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be back. Hopefully, again, it's not the last time.
Nope. We'll have you back.
Yes.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. As Pastor Margaret and I have talked to Jenny Butcher, the location leader of the Isaiah 117 House, we pray that today's broadcast has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.